Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio in just a moment. Eager to hear, we do have Sal now on the Wester Hotline. Hi, Sal. Nice seeing you today.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Sal was here today, Bulldog.
All right.
I saw him. We chatted briefly. I'm just curious to hear you talk about what yesterday was like, Sal, out at that softball game, players there, Josh Allen for Micah Hyde and the Bills, and a good crowd. You were a part of the festivities yesterday. What will you remember most?
I will remember just how embracing the entire event was with the crowd and families of people there, meaning players and staff, Bisons. You know, they were a big part of it, obviously. 11,000 tickets sold, guys. It was incredible to have something like that for a softball game, right? I mean, talking with the organizers of the event for Micah and his handlers, if you will, on that end, you know, they've done these things before. And they said, this is incredible to have that kind of turnout. I'll remember just really the one moment, the moment that stands out to me is Tre'Davious White was there. And I was told he was there. I was the on-field MC. And I said, I saw him and I said, Trey, I got to introduce you. People are going to go crazy. No, don't do that, Sal. I don't want to do that. I begged him. No, please, you got to let me. No. I'm like, all right, I respected his wishes. But then I said to Micah, I'm like, Micah, man, Tre'Davious is here. He won't let me introduce him. And he said, no, don't worry, I'll do it. So at the end of one of the half innings, he announced to the crowd Tre'Davious White was there. And they gave him a standing ovation. He did like a curtain call to step out of the dugout and wave. Chills, man. It was just, that was the one moment. And then overall, just a big picture of, you know, I'll remember the weekend because we were there on the heels of what happened on Saturday. And I got to be honest with you guys, like I was afraid of even like tweeting a picture about
yeah.
it. I was feeling guilty about being there. I didn't know what to do. We had tickets to the Justin Bieber concert Saturday and I didn't know if I should go. I felt guilty going. We did eventually go. I get entangled in a lot of ways like a lot of you guys do. And we talked about it today, me and Joe on the Extra Point Show. And I remember thinking all morning about, is this the right thing? Should we be doing this? They're having it. What do we do? But I got to give credit to Micah, his family. His mom and dad were there. His dad was an umpire. His marketing people on that side of things for the game, the Imagine for Youth people, and the teammates and all. They did it right. The Bisons did it right. They recognized it. They talked about it. They made it a part of the day to honor the families and to donate a lot of the proceeds towards everything that was going on towards the families. And I think we made the right call to be there and do it, and I'm glad that was a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, hear to all that, Sal. I spent a good amount of time yesterday morning thinking about you. I never reached out to you, but I was wondering about, you know, I didn't hear anything that the game was not going to go on. But, you know, for people who talk for a living like we do, like for you to be maybe the first person a lot of people would be hearing from. I mean, not that they wouldn't have watched the news on Saturday, but still to be in like a celebratory master of ceremonies, festivities sort of role. The reason I was thinking of you is I'm thinking I would be very self-conscious about this if I were Sal. I am in those things. You're a natural at that. Like I freeze up in front of people. Like I just don't handle it well. Even after all these years, I still don't. I don't know why that is. It's never really, you know, the Greg Brady, imagine everyone's in their underwear thing just never really worked for me, I guess. I don't know. So I was wondering about, like, are they going to go through with it? They should they? I think they should. And I mean, it just turned out, I think, to be the right call. To get people out, and I thought Micah's explanation for continuing with the event was very heartfelt and genuine.
That's right, and I appreciate you thinking like that, and thank you. And I know that, as you guys have been talking a lot about today, the position we're in, and people look to us to be a voice. Sometimes if you don't say anything, it's the wrong thing. If you say something, it's the wrong thing, and I get caught up in that, right? So I will tell you, to give a peek behind the curtain to everybody, there was a lot of discussion behind the scenes about how to handle it, and I came in on the heels of all that discussion to give my kind of thoughts. And everybody was still wondering, like, what do we do? What's the right tone? And eventually someone said, well, look, if we're going to do this, we have to at some point transition to a softball game. And I said, look, I don't want that on Micah. I don't want that on anybody. I'll do it. It's fine. I talk for a living. That's what I said. Well, you do. I said, I talk for a living. Like, I can get us to softball. Let's do it this way. Throw it down to me. I'll get the crowd back going. And the Bisons were great. They had some great ideas about how to kind of naturally just let everybody kind of be who they want to be in that moment, take a couple minutes off, and then let's get into softball. We did that, and it was a great atmosphere afterwards. And as I said today, and you guys know, I mean, how much I care about the culture of things and things like that, this goes back to, you know, when you grow up in sports and you grow up in locker rooms, You love everybody. Like they say that you like love is blind. I say love is natural. You naturally love your teammates. It doesn't matter what their color is, where they come from, their socioeconomic background, all those kinds of things. And like that kind of setting, to see a team like that with all those different kinds of people and personalities who all look different than each other, setting with that crowd, it was special. It was really special that we did that in Buffalo yesterday, guys. It really was.
Yes, sports is excellent like that, can be at least. So appreciate that. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Josh Allen was there and sounds like he wowed the crowd, which he makes a habit of.
He does. He's so good at it. You know, people always ask me what Josh is like. And I always say, look, first of all, like, what's he like? And, you know, when you hear him say this, is that real? And I say, let me tell you about Josh. He's very buttoned up as far as PR. Like, he has a great team over there. The Bills PR staff is great. They work with all those guys. But Josh is also naturally very gifted to talk. There's no doubt about that. But he always says the right thing, and he's trained to, obviously. But I also say this. He's not fake. What you see from Josh Allen is real. Like, he is perfect for us here in Buffalo, I think, to be that kind of personality. He really fits the city. He's real. He's not fake in any way. And yesterday, on top of the home run derby and the showmanship of it, after the whole event was done, guys, Josh Allen went from home plate all the way up left field and signed every single thing. Everybody was down there putting their pens and whatever through the screen and, you know, the netting. And then he goes inside, and I was in the ramp at the same time down by the dugouts, and I said, are you done? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm just come in here, get a drink or something. He said, I'm going back out. He went back out, and he went to right field line. He did the whole thing all over again. It was incredible. And that's just who he is. And it was a show he put on. And, yeah, he hit some home runs too, for sure. So it was a great day. And then, of course, his big line. He's standing there with the big trophy, wins the home run derby. I said, I think I speak for pretty much all Bills Mafia to say this is going to be the first hardware you're going to win in your career. And then I said, where does it rank in your accomplishments? And he said, it's just a placeholder until we win in February, which was awesome.
I think his saying that's the greatest thing I've ever done would have been awesome, too. It's right, number one, actually,
you can never
Sal.
Take this away from me, Sal.
I've won some other...
Hey, listen, don't make a mistake. He wanted to win that home run derby again and beat Jordan Poyer, and Jordan Poyer wanted to beat him, and they were the two in the finals again. And I know it's probably Chap and Jordan that he did not beat Josh again.
He doesn't have a family yet, right? You'd say something like, it's tied with the birth of my kids for the greatest achievement. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Rookie minicamp took place Friday into the weekend. We talked on Friday. Anything significant to you that was said or done?
No, I think really as far as just these guys hitting the ground running, you know, I thought back on some of the things I saw, people asking me how they looked, what they did. You know, we're so used to these guys just doing the phase one conditioning stuff. And you get out there and they were hitting the ground running. You know, there is no time for the weary here. You know, and what I mean by that is, sure, you know, the Bills know these guys, they're not going to know the playbook and they're just giving them, you know, stuff to be ready for. But when they walk into that building, they're expected to act professionally. They're expected to be professionals. You're getting paid to be an NFL player now. Now, we're not just walking in here and saying, oh, hey, let's ease things in. Yes, there's some of that that goes on in a general sense, but if this is your job now, we are trying to win a Super Bowl, you're a part of that. Like, you need to do everything that you're supposed to do to help us do that. We're not going to wait for you. The bus is not waiting for anyone in this, and I think that was something that I kind of took away, that the way practice was handled and structured.
You know, I remember on Friday, Sal, you telling us about how Sean McDermott's message to the players taking part in this rookie minicamp are like, you're not going to make the team off of this practice. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
just you know, put one foot in front of the other and that sort of thing. But did they not sign someone, one of the tryout guys, off of this? And I know that's not making the team, but it certainly is a step in that direction.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I actually did that happen today? I didn't see that. Or yesterday while I was gone there. I don't know if they signed someone to an actual contract yet. I haven't seen anything from the Bills come over. Was there a report on that? I didn't know that.
I apologize. I thought I should look it up so I have it. But I thought I saw yesterday at some point that a player, maybe an offensive lineman, had been signed.
I did not see anything official from the Bills. So if you saw that online, it's possible. I have to be honest with you. I kind of avoided social media all day yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of reasons. It is possible it's happening. The Bills have not made anything official is what I will say.
Okay. I did not see anything from the Bills. So if that,
okay.
You know.
Two undrafted free agents were actually a part of the softball game yesterday, by the way. They had a couple of defensive linemen. Just to show you, like, these guys are already like, yeah, here, I'm going to play softball.
Great
right?
move.
Yeah, right. They
by them.
And they were part of that whole thing. Yeah. Sean McDermott threw out the first pitch as well. He was there. It has happened where they have signed guys on tryout basis on the roster, and that could very well be happening. We'll look out for anything if that happens. I will tell you, as of right now, even including all the draft picks and the undrafted free agents guys, they have 85 people on the roster, so they would have room to do that, and I think that's a big reason why. Because if someone shows up and tries out and they're like, hey, you know, we like this guy, like they have room on the roster, they wouldn't have to cut anybody.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Coverage of Bill's rookie minicamp brought to you by M&M You Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used cars and truck parts. Yeah, I mean, if I'm an undrafted free agent, I'm saying yes to everything. You're going to let me
You're gonna let me come
to the softball game? Of course I'm going to. My name's George. I'm going to go to the softball game, you know, meet some of the players and really get to be a part of it. Sure. I guess they did just in a minute ago, sign, Joe, four of these players?
Yeah, like...
There you go.
46 seconds ago from my timeline, they've signed...
Bulldog, what great timing.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Look at me.
You are incredible.
Defensive tackle Prince Emily from Pennsylvania, tackle Will Ulmer from Marshall, corner Jamarcus Ingram from UB, and defensive tackle C.J. Brewer from Coastal Carolina.
I think Ulmer is the name I saw yesterday.
And C.J. Brewer was one of the guys that actually was at the softball game. I did not. The other three I did not believe were at the softball game. I'm not saying hey, they knew I'm getting signed, obviously, but the other guy was Kingsley Jonathan, who was a Syracuse undrafted. Well, actually, that was, he was an undrafted free agent. Oh, so C.J. Brewer. Okay, so if he was on a tryout and he was even at the softball game, wow, all right. So there you go. Thank you.
Sal, what's next?
They have phase two this week for the veterans and the rookies. Rookie minicamp is over. Veterans, rookies, everybody together, phase two, they'll be doing that. They'll be getting into phase three in a couple of weeks here. It's a 9-week program. And then in the middle of June, they'll have mandatory minicamp where guys have to be there. That'll last four days, I believe. They'll do that. And then after that, they'll break, and then they'll have training camp, which, as we discussed, will start a little bit earlier than normal because they're playing in that opening Thursday night game. So I'm looking right around maybe the – like, my guess would be 23rd, so that's 47 days by the CBA from their first regular season game. But basically, phases two and three are going to be ongoing here for the next several weeks.
Yeah, I guess you're saying that reminds me about it. Like, that hasn't all the way sunk in yet. that the Bills will be playing that night. You know, it's just so cool. For as much time as we spent speculating about it, just like, oh, that's right, September 8th, that's right, the first game, they get it. So, that's just me.
Hey, Sal.
And you know what?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Bulldog. No, I was just going to say, I've been thinking so much about the schedule, too, and about that game, and, you know, all the different things that are going to go along with it, and I just keep thinking, you know, about the pomp and circumstance, the festivities and all of that. So, the game itself, though, Mike, you're right. Like, I haven't actually thought about, oh, yeah, Thursday night game. I'm thinking about L.A., what's going on, Dodgers game the day before, maybe, and, you know, thinking about bringing the family out, L.A., anyway, all that stuff.
You know,
at some point, it's like, hey, Bills Rams Thursday night.
Yeah, like I'm not to like matchups yet, but that'll be really fun. I mean,
right?
The Rams, of course, not just the Super Bowl champion, but star studded because you have Jalen Ramsey to talk about and Aaron Donald to talk about, and then of course their offense, the year Cooper Kupp just had. Now Allen Robinson is there. That's a fun team to sort of analyze, and there'll be some and Von Miller on the Bills now. There'll be some really fun individual matchups, strategy to talk about. The game from 2 years ago wasn't like a great game in the sense that it was back and forth. It was not at all like that, but it, you know, in the end, close finish, close game, and so it was great in that sense. So we'll get there. It's still May. We'll get there. All right.
Sal, I was going to bring up, you mentioned Jordan Poyer, and I recognizing, just sort of easing into, like, you know, doing our jobs the way we normally do our jobs here, so I apologize if this is clumsy, but I know, like, yesterday would not be a setting to ask Jordan Poyer about his contract, but I don't know, I guess, you know, you mentioned him being in the you know, the final of the home run derby with Josh Allen, and it dawns on me, like, it's probably a good, at least some positive sign that he's around and like taking part in, you know, it's his friend and running mate back there in the secondary, but I want to be encouraged that Poyer is around, and like I don't know where that's headed, but there hasn't been a lot of noise about it, his contract. I mean,
that's right. We also don't know if he's around the building. We don't know if he's at actual, you know, OTAs going on right now. He was around for this, that's for sure. And there was a lot of, hey, look, a lot of people were wondering if he's going to be. We were. A lot of people in the media kept asking each other, have you heard anything from Jordan Poyer? Do you know if he's going to be there? We didn't know. And then I saw it come over like 2 days before the event that Jordan was confirmed to be there. And it didn't surprise me. Him and Mike are very close, not just because they play close to each other in football, but they're very close personal friends. Their families are close. Didn't surprise me he would be there for his friend. I know he wanted to defend his home run, or go after, I should say, Josh for his home run derby title. So I wasn't surprised about that. I wonder where that goes and where that ultimately goes. You're right. Didn't have a chance to maybe ask about that stuff, but certainly it's something I think as we go on here in the next few weeks, we're all going to be wondering, you know, where does that stand? Jordan, his contract situation, is he coming in? I have not heard yay or nay necessarily if he has been in the building working out. We did not hear from him on the day that we were allowed to go out there and be a media availability, essentially.
Mm-hmm. All right. In Tennessee, there's some, I don't know what there is. I was going to say concern, but there may not be much. Just that their first-round pick receiver, Treylon Burks, out of Arkansas, reportedly struggled with the heat at minicamp there, was off the field some. And so, like, I don't know. I was just thinking about how if that were here, not right now. Right now with the Bills, everything is fine. You know, like, there's really almost nothing like this. Super Bowl favorite, whatnot. Otherwise, if that were here, it would be like, you know, I don't know. That's not a great sign, right? I mean, what doesn't have to start like this, and then we'd be going back.
If he's not in shape for rookie minicamp.
Yeah. You'd say that, and then somebody else would be like, well, I don't know why this has to matter.
Right.
I don't know why we're talking about it. So, not a great sign, maybe. What would you think if somebody's like sort of, if this is the case with Treylon Burks, Sal, and I know I'm picking out an example from a faraway place.
Right.
But would you sort of, would you think it would be a story, or would the team be sort of concerned, or just what would it represent to you, do you think, as little information as we're going with?
Great question. I actually thought about this myself. I thought, you know, if this was a Bills player, I know that there would be a lot of social media back and forth. There'd be a lot of talk about fans. You'd have them on each side. I wouldn't care that much. If it happened the first time, I would care if it happened again in a week from now or, you know, multiple times. Like the first time out there, you're also talking about a, you know, more of a hotter place. Now, it was hot here last weekend, but I wouldn't care that much right now. I would say for me, it'd be more of something just to kind of monitor, basically, but I wouldn't make a big, big deal about it yet.
All right. Very good. Sal, enjoyed hearing you talk about yesterday. Really cool day for the fans, and it sounds like the players, too, and an emotional one. So good job, and thanks for your time.
All right, guys. You have a great night.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
That wasn't one of those, because it wouldn't really do respect, like rise to that level, where you sort of know something is going to happen, but you don't want to, you know, report it and have it be all official. So you just sort of say it. It's like, I think this is going to happen when those free agents signed. That's not what just happened in here 10 minutes ago?
No, it's definitely not what just, no, I really.
Imagine if somebody texts Bulldog, listen, in 90 seconds, we're going to release.
Yeah, bring it up.
That we signed this guy from Penn.
Now's a good time to bring it up. Yeah, no, it just clicked into my head that I saw that. And, you know, fortunately for me, I guess, the Bills validated what I was, what I thought I saw over the weekend. So, all right.
All right, we'll take a break here and have an update. Again, if you want to help the victims and their families and the community affected by Saturday's murders, you can go to @FeedMoreWNY, at Westside Peacemakers. And also Thurman Thomas and his wife Patty have started a fundraising effort. And that link or that website is, I just had it open, is it give.thurmanthomas? I don't have it exactly right. I'm not positive. You have to go, we'll get it right next time, but go to Thurman's Twitter or Patty's.
It is give.thurmanthomas.com.
.com. Okay, good. Thank you, Joe. Around $70,000 already today has been raised, so congrats to them. Thanks to them. Yeah. At Buffalo Community Fridge as well, an account. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'll be back after sports on WGR.
It's just all evaluation. Just like I feel like a freshman out there. Just new environment, but at the end of the day, football is football. You know, still got to continue to keep getting better. Still got to grind. Still have to earn everything. So, I mean, it kind of felt the same, honestly. I'm a pro now.
That's the Bills' first-round pick, Kair Elam, on Friday at rookie minicamp. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thank you for listening. There are press conferences happening in the city. And if you want to, I think you probably know this, but if you want to stay abreast, go to WBEN, News Radio 930, live coverage and commentary about Saturday shooting continues. And updates. They have some updates that I've been seeing scrolling through Twitter here in the last few minutes.
And the president is coming tomorrow.
Yes, and the first lady.
And the first lady, yes.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right.
You know, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because something I've been thinking about a lot since yesterday, and it really hit home today, this morning, driving Leo to school. I live in the city. I live in the Parkside neighborhood. And so a lot of my drive, he goes to the Performing Arts Academy, which is on East Ferry, between Maston and Michigan, I guess is where the school is. And so most of the drive is down Main Street. And so every day there are, dozens of families, like groups of children, parents, maybe older siblings, whatever, depending on how young the kids are, mm-hmm. Waiting for the bus. And I just, I notice these people every day. Today, particular attention, young mother, little daughter, black people, another group at another bus stop waiting for their school bus. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what are the conversations like? You know, like it's one thing for us to feel what we're feeling about what's happening. It's another to feel targeted. You know, I mean, like, and I don't know how you would avoid that if you're a person of color, and it's very obvious this person, his mission was to come into a neighborhood that would be full of people of color and
destroy it,
wreak havoc and rampage murder, right? How are you talking to your kids about, if you're talking to them at all? And I'm not here to judge you if you're not. I'm curious. This is one thing I should have called you about earlier in the day, because I was thinking about you a lot with your kids with respect to this.
I'll tell you everything there is. So my son went on a camping trip this weekend and was not home Saturday. So I had no access to him on Saturday. And I had this golf outing that we've been planning for months yesterday. I run a fantasy football league, and the guys wanted to do a golf draft day. So that was yesterday, and I left the house before 7 o'clock. He was not back yet. So I saw him only late yesterday. I was with my daughter a little bit on Saturday, but she and my wife went to a movie. And we just haven't gotten there yet. But I'm thinking all the time. I mean, we've had conversations about, I mean, all of this over his life, and he's old enough now where he can process, you know, most of it. Mm-hmm. He's still very young, so that'll happen maybe tonight. Definitely want to talk to him. Just this morning was rushed, and it hasn't happened yet. The thing that I want to teach him, so I can't. I'm really struggling today at this, because I just feel like I am in no position to offer good advice about what to do here. And I think society is kind of there all the time when it comes to gun violence and even race, usually. But I just do not feel, like, frankly, qualified today. I think what I'm trying to do in this job is, like, so you give advice. How do you want to feel? What can you do? What are some things, you know? And, wow, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep water.
No. It's just, like, I'd want to listen to people in that community and people of color and be sensitive to them and take my lead from them. Like, I'm from the suburbs and white, and I went golfing. Like, I just feel like I'm the wrong person for it. In terms of my kids, though... I say this a lot to them, because there's often bad news, and bad news from everywhere now comes right home, comes right to your front door. I mean, it's just so, you just hear about it. I try to make this point all the time to them. Don't become jaded. I mean, I feel like anybody would have the right, and it would be natural or normal for them. Of course, I mean, again, this is going to sound like I'm putting it way too mildly, to be angry and want revenge and, you know, have some certain emotions that, you know, make sense. I want them to sort of, while being certain, be educated, but not be jaded about people, mm-hmm. not be angry at people. Try to, you know, do your best and be trusting. And
you want to hope. I think you want to impart on your kids that there are more good people than bad.
Yeah, and you know,
I don't know. You know, sometimes that ratio feels like it's getting too. You know, whatever.
We'll look at the damage one brainwashed person can do.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, be trusting, head up, and try to, if you can, at such a young age, try to appreciate that point, that at the same time, you know, it's what we all try to do. It's at the same time, be trusting of people and be loving and respectful, but also, you know, mindful and alert, you know, and whatever else goes with that. I can't feel he's going to feel how he's going to feel, you know? And I can't, as a white man, I can't, like,
shield shape, him from that?
I don't know. I,
sorry.
I can't. We don't share that. You know, like we do as people, but and as family, but it's just we're different.
You know enough to know that people, some people, will look at him and your daughter differently than they look at you, whether you're with them or not.
Yeah,
like that's just how it is. You know, and that's a that I think that's a very challenging concept to try to impart on little kids. You said, I mean, they're getting older, but it just seems like such a like, why, you know, like I would think one of the first questions you would get is why, and I don't know how I would answer that question. You know, why? It's just
why does it happen?
Why are people going to look at me and my sister differently than they look at you?
But that's a question that's very hard for a lot of us to understand.
Sure.
You know, I mean, why is it? Why is there racism acted upon so violently? Lots of reasons, you know. Education, a lack of it, the wrong sort of it. You know, desperation. I just do not feel comfortable even. Nobody needs me to. Nobody needs me to define that. But we know it's real. And very dangerous and destructive.
Well, thank you for taking the question, because I have been thinking about it a lot. Like, you know, we also have not. Owen came home from golfing with me Saturday before we knew any of this had happened, and he went right to work, and he was at work until 1 a.m, and then was up and out for work again yesterday. And I just I've not had a chance to really sit and talk with him. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 20 and 18 year olds are the ages of my kids. So it's different. I mean, they're certainly capable of processing everything. And, you know, just as adults, really. So I don't feel the same, you know, compulsion to really sit and explain anything to them. But at some point I do, because we just haven't had the chance to, as a family, like, how's everyone doing? You know, like, how are you feeling about this? You know? But we have not had the time to have that conversation yet here either.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. We've got Paul Hamilton scheduled for 6 tonight. We'll talk some NHL playoffs with Paul and here and there before that as well. This is WGR.
We also will be available to receive food donations, bulk food donations from corporations and givers that would like to donate in a large way, and food providers and sundry item providers and soft goods can give those directly to 91 Holt, to the Feed More agency.
Continuing coverage on WBEN News Radio 930 on Saturday shootings. That's Terry King from our sister station, representing the Resource Council of Western New York. Mentioned 91 Holt Street. That account is at FeedMoreWNY. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sneaky Joe. Joe, so as it happens, Bulldog, my partner and I beat Joe and his in a very close match yesterday in golf. But I'll tell you what about Joe, and this you might know, and I don't think it would surprise you if you didn't. Looks like a golfer.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
Okay.
Looks like a guy who's had lessons.
I've never had a lesson in my life, but I take that as a great compliment.
I mean it as one. I mean, the tempo is good, you know, just very put together, and nothing like me. Shirts hanging out. Wild swings, way too quick. Like, I'm taking the club, if I'm nervous, like a quarter of the way back, and can't wait to get it over with up there sometimes.
Yeah.
Not to mention physically not playing at all, not doing nearly enough these days. Just like by 13, 14 when we bet on that one hole,
yeah.
Like, I was losing it.
Yeah. I was all kinds of old guy sore yesterday. I'll tell you that. I mean, I was just like I got beat with like bars of soap inside socks is how my back, my lower back, my shoulders, my knees,
right.
My left heel for some reason really hurt. Like, I don't know. It's like hobbling around the house. My wife is like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, muscles that I don't use. I'm sorry. I mean, I know I'm, you know, pounding out up, you know, 150 miles a week on the bicycle, but it's not the same. It's just a very different thing. I was definitely feeling it. Is Joe in the Nate Geary, Jeremy White fashion plate class as far as like the golf attire goes?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
I would say I'm aspiring to that, but I'm not there. I need an upgrade on the golf shoes, but no, I try to be out there a little bit. I had like a nice cherry blossom golf polo, I think you would call it.
Holy cow. It has been forever since I've bought anything for golf because I don't play. Like, why would I do that?
Right.
But like, I'm down to one golf shirt. Yeah. I have one golf shirt. Luckily, it was clean. Why wouldn't it be? That's what I wore yesterday, yeah. my golf shirt.
I was, before we played Saturday, Owen bought new shoes. He bought shoes. He didn't have golf shoes, so he bought shoes, and they're, you know, they're Jeremy and Nate approved. Like, I tweeted at them, like, what do you think of these rides? Okay.
Rides.
So I was probably trending toward, I have, like, Howard Simon's golf shoes. I've got, like, the Air Monarch of golf shoes. Like, the first non-traditional looking golf shoes that maybe Nike ever made were my golf shoes. They're from the mid-90s. And as it happens, the sole of the left one, the front of it fell off. Like, it was peeling off. Like, completely. I played three holes thinking, I'm going to trip and kill myself on this shoe before we're done. But, you know, we're out on the 16th hole. I don't have a way to change shoes. My other sneakers are in the truck, whatever. But we got done. I threw them in the garbage. Like, they're just irretrievably shot. So the first step, I don't think I'm ever going to reach that Jeremy, Nate, Joe wannabe status. But I got some sneaky, sweet-looking sneaker golf shoes coming.
I'm not in good enough shape. Like, it would be embarrassing for me to try.
Right, to dress? I know what you
like,
mean.
Like, you right. Got to sort of have the bod.
Right.
Right? So...
Yeah, if your shirt's got to be untucked, you're in trouble to start.
Yeah, like, I'm not... I'm not putting this effort in right now. Right. What I could do is lose some weight and goes hand in hand. I'll keep wearing that one shirt, get some rounds in, walk, then maybe I'll be in better shape, and then I could add to the collection and
get
make
motivated
that effort.
To buy some new clothes because you feel like you deserve it.
You know, maybe. Yeah. Like, this drafting that I do is not really, it's not really exercise.
You don't say.
No. It's mostly sitting around with beer.
It's a mental exercise.
The draft after the game was mostly sitting around with beer and, you know, clicking on your computer or your phone. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. NHL playoffs do not go tonight. They start tomorrow, round two. NBA also down to the final four teams. Why is there nothing tonight? I don't know, but I don't know if you guys do. It's quiet, though.
That's a good question.
I don't know, but I'm going to miss it. I know that.
Baseball.
Just the way it worked out.
Lots of baseball.
Baseball.
Time out. We'll talk some more. Paul Hamilton coming up in a little over an hour. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.